Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
We're going to take a break now from all the hatred and divisiveness in the Tory party. We're going to talk about marital hatred. And is marital hatred normal? Well, it seems that one therapist to the Hollywood stars, Terry Rail, has said that it is. And he's Gwyneth Paltrow's therapist, and he's coined this term to describe domestic irritation that can cause friction even in the happiest marriages. So is bickering with your partner, and well, you may laugh, is bickering with your partner a normal part of a relationship? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Helen Vaughan, who's psychotherapist and director of Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy. Helen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much. And yeah, I would say like bickering is normal, but hatred, not so much. Like there's a big difference in my mind anyway, between bickering, getting annoyed with the people you live with, to me is part of life, isn't it? But it's figuring out what are the non-negotiable things and what are the things that you can hopefully just let go. Or if there's other bigger stuff underneath.
he's I don't know if it's a he or a she, Terry Rail, but let's say he or she is saying that there is a certain level of marital hatred, and that's the term that he coined, that is acceptable. So you don't like the term at all, do you?
I don't like the term hatred. I don't mind kind of bickering or getting annoyed with each other or having, you know, issues around boundaries or things. Some of the examples in the article that are talked about are one partner reparking his wife's car because it wasn't close enough to the curb. That to me is problematic behavior. That's not, I shouldn't use the word normal, but you know what I mean? To me, that's kind of getting into a controlling situation. And how can he not just let her park whatever way she parks her own car at her own house and leave her to it? You know, that to me is getting into difficult behavior. But a lot of what's described is criticism, and there's four issues that are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which are basically things that kill relationships, according to this guy, John Gottman. And they're criticism. So if one partner criticizes the other often or even frequently, that's problematic and can kill a relationship. Contempt is the second one. So that's blaming the other party, putting them down, name calling. Even sarcasm can creep into contempt. And also then defensiveness. So if one of you feels attacked and then counterattacks or something like that, and then stonewalling is the last one, which I think is interesting, where you kind of shut down mid-conflict to avoid any kind of conflict. And that, again, that's something that can be problematic. And I think the examples that he's using are things around criticism or control, or when one partner is trying to make the other do something their way. That to me is problematic.
Yeah, there's an interesting quote from him. He says, "Real marriage comes the day you realise this person, your spouse, is exquisitely designed to stick the burning spear into your eyeball." Sorry, but that's an
awful. That's extreme.
It is a bit extreme, isn't it? But it does tend to come around the smaller things, doesn't it? Even all those things that you're talking about, when you're talking about, you know, particularly criticism, I think it can be around the smaller things. So where is criticism okay? Like, for example, if you were living with somebody who always put the towels to dry on radiators, even though the radiators aren't on because it's the summertime, so you're really just leaving damp towels around the place, and always
does
this.
Or they put them on the floor or on the bed,
or in a massive big pile where they just can't dry like that because they're damp towels.
I'm gonna stand up for Sarah's husband.
This
here
is a hypothetical.
I put and he obviously puts them on the radiator because they dry. They're lifted up.
If they're folded over four times
and then put
on the radiator.
You're controlling, Helen, isn't she?
I'm trying to dry the towels, is all I'm trying to do.
I know.
So, like, you know, there has to be a bit of criticism around that, doesn't there? Or polite
requests. But it
doesn't
have to be criticism.
Okay, so tell me.
Polite
go
requests.
On.
So it's about how you communicate. And there's a way of using what we call I statements. So I feel this, like I feel ignored when you hang the towels on the radiator and you don't put them, I don't know, where do you want them to put them? You don't put them in the wash, you don't put them on the heated towel rail, which is what it's for. You know, that I feel ignored when that happens. So you're saying how it impacts you rather than you're a dirty pig and you should put your towels in the wash when you're finished with them.
Sure.
Right, you see the difference there between taking ownership of your feelings or pointing the finger at somebody else.
Okay, so you say it once, right? And then the following week, you come down the stairs and there's the towels.
But maybe he disagrees, sure.
No, this is...
And what you're doing there, actually, is imposing your will on somebody who's has his own free will.
I didn't realise your psychotherapy qualifications
right,
come
Helen,
in,
though.
Cormac. Sorry,
am
go
I
on.
Right? She's controlling. She's even trying to do it.
Well,
here.
It might be your norm versus his norm, and that's exactly. What a lot of us bring into relationships.
Okay, so this is what I'm asking.
Maybe
okay.
His family all put the towel to Rory Davis, and that's they love it.
I think she should apologise actually this evening to him.
Sorry, I still haven't got an answer though as to what happened. So if you've done your, as you say, your polite request that
Helen,
I
though.
Feel ignored, right? Because I have said that the towels just don't dry like that. And, you know, this is hypothetical. The
well,
person responds
they?
And
Maybe
says,
they do.
No, they don't. They really don't dry like that.
Get away from the towels. Step away from the towels.
And says, it's fine. I won't do that again. No problem. I totally understand. But then it does happen again. So then, you know, you are into a criticism situation there where you don't want to be.
Well, you can heighten your communication.
Go
you know,
on, tell
I'm
me.
Feeling frustrated. I'm feeling angry. You know, whatever mm-hmm. it is you're feeling, maybe your feelings have become more intense. You know, I'm feeling angry now. I feel like you're kind of ignoring me, or I'm asking you to do things and you're agreeing and then you're not doing them. That you're kind of pointing out what your needs are and maybe what you need from him to rectify the situation and see if he has a different solution. That's
yeah.
different to yours, and if you can find a middle ground, God knows we're out in the line outside this time of year. Surely is the place to put them.
You would have thought,
you know, that you can find some kind of other solution, and then trying to get
but Helen,
him to think of that in the moment.
Isn't Sarah's hypothetical example perfect in a way? Because what Terry Rail is getting at is a fairly innocuous stuff. It's not going to kill anyone, whether somebody makes a noise when eating or likes to control the remote or whatever. But it's those things over time that can really, really gnaw at your patience. And that's what it is. And well, it kind of builds into hatred, isn't that it? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think when that happens, there's more going on than just the towels. That maybe there is a past hurt or a past issue that hasn't been resolved. And sometimes it's about coming to therapy. Not that I'm suggesting it, but you could do. And figuring out, is there more underneath the surface? And that often happens in relationship, that over time, something doesn't get resolved or somebody feels hurt or slighted or criticized or whatever it is. And maybe there's more to it. The towels are just a symbol of a deeper hurt or a deeper
So that's really
conflict.
Interesting. That's something that then you want to watch, because you might think, why are we fighting about the towels, or why are we fighting about what the whatever, you know, the small thing?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense that we're fighting about it, but we keep fighting about it. But you're saying it actually might not be that.
It could be a bigger
yeah,
issue
right, okay.
that you're not conscious of, or they're not conscious of. You're annoyed, or you're annoyed about something else at work, like a colleague or something, rather than your partner, and that's kind of seeping into this other issue. It's figuring out, why is this striking such a chord in me that I'm getting so annoyed about it, and what is it indicative of? And is it a relationship thing? Is it a house thing? Is it a work thing? What is it?
So the problem could lie then with the person who is oppressed or feels oppressed, as opposed to the oppressor.
I'm like, is that the guy who's hanging the towels?
Can we just be clear, by the way? We're not talking about my marriage. My marriage is fine.
Sorry, this is a disclaimer. We are not talking about Sarah's marriage.
Yeah. Okay, but I've nothing else to say in the matter.
No, look, just in case people are wondering, she is very happily married. Anyway,
I just get the dryer working.
Can I say to you, Helen, that an awful lot of people listening will actually, and we're joking here, obviously, but an awful lot of people listening will be putting up, for want of a better phrase, with stuff that really annoys them, and it has grown into hatred over many years, and they feel they've grown apart from their partners or their spouses or whatever the case may be, and they feel, look, the game is up. So can it be rescued if it goes on for too long, do you think?
I think it can be. What I see mostly in couples coming to therapy is that they've lost their connection. They've lost their kind of often intimacy or chats in the evening, or they've just kind of become distant over time. And that can be rebuilt if both parties want to, and if they still have desire for each other and interest in each other. And I don't know, do you know Esther Perel? She talks about everyone needs to maintain their individuation, she calls it, which basically means keep your own life as well as having relationship, you know, life and hobbies together, that always keep your own stuff going so that you're both interesting to each other. Like when you first meet and you've this life going on, and so do they, and you're like, wow, what's going on with you? You know, and I think sometimes people lose that over time, and they slowly erode their own identity, and they get lost in a relationship. And then often, as you say, they lose their connection then in that relationship. So they feel sort of alone. Like all of those things can be dealt with. And I would suggest going to counselling sooner rather than later. So you're not at crisis point by the time you're in front of me, and we can hopefully deal with it better than we can if you're both sitting there, you know, arms folded in opposite directions, looking away from each other. And I'm like, okay, how are we going to bring these people back together?
Yeah. Okay, so get help early, I suppose, as early as possible. That's pretty good advice. Helen Vaughan from Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy. Great to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.